In this episode, David yells at a German.
Das kannst du besser machen, Conrad. And Colin has just the tip for Catholics.
All that and more on Overarching. I'm Colin.
No, I'm David.
And I'm Bradley.
Why do you have two beers?
I want it.
And this is Overarching. Say the pledge?
Yeah.
Let's say the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to Gregory F.X. Daly, the one to whom we owe it all, and to our taxes, which we prefer to be spent on love. It's all you need, unless you're a Wall Street Journal columnist who, like, doesn't even go here, writing an article disparaging our downtown, which, like, hey, we know, but also, like, isn't it your job to give greater context to complex situations? That guy doesn't need love. He needs clicks. But really, what we need isn't love or clicks. It's a path toward leveraging our region's wealth in ways that include but are not limited to a city-county merger to break down the financial wall between our downtown and those who have an opinion about it. 1% to the god of yellow envelopes ignored by all.
Conrad Pootsier.
Conrad Pootsier.
Pootsier, hey!
That joke isn't canon.
I want to have him on the show just to, like, see if he's actually a good dude who's not that great of a columnist.
So I mean, he's written...
No, truly, he is a decent columnist. And I said that in our vertical video. He has written some really, really great pieces before.
Which
I don't mean to,
like,
crap on him.
Yeah.
That is the biggest reason. I called him out and was like... Man, this is intentional, almost. It feels intentional.
Did he respond?
No, but I think he might have written an article in response to that. You know what I'm saying?
So, like, for those who didn't see the vertical video or see the article briefly a few weeks back, whatever, it was an article. It was like, St. Louis's downtown is in a doom loop.
Doom loop.
That word is used in commercial real estate so much.
But it's a super evocative phrase, and it really, like, does describe, like, it's almost self-described. It's like, okay, like, you've got this downturn in investment and usage, and that leads to further downturn in investment and usage, and, you know, it's spiral. But also, like, I feel like one of the big problems with the phrase doom loop, or invoking the phrase doom loop in a, like, I would say... The appropriate space for using the term doom loop is in, like, academic research, where you're using hyper-specific language to describe situations. But when it comes to printing something that is describing a situation that's going to be read by lay people and by investors and everything else, when you invoke the doom loop, it becomes a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. Yes, it is a statement of what's going on, but when you say, like, oh, gosh, the situation is that things keep getting worse and worse because, you know, lack of investment begets further lack of investment. The very fact of saying that, people are saying, oh, yeah, maybe I should invest less. Whereas, like, what we need is a solution.
And there you, I mean, like, what you just described in like, 1 minute of talking, the entire free market, like... Person writes viral article, free market now.
Yeah.
Like, person writes viral article saying negative thing.
Yeah.
Negative speculation happens, and speculation is what drives the market.
Absolutely, it is. And
so that's the real doom loop.
Real estate investors, and more importantly, not what real estate investors, but what large business owners who want to bring their businesses or want to start a business or open up some type of, you know, office of sorts or move downtown or anything, right? They're going to read this.
And once again, this is like the problem right now in the economy.
Zoom in close.
I feel like,
Oh, you meant the camera.
The camera.
Oh, okay.
Is, you know, people talk about, oh, late stage capitalism, this late stage capitalism, that. And it's like, and it sounds like a buzzword and it sounds like loaded language, but let me break down for you, like, what it is. It's this shareholder first, profit first, / profit only running of business, running of this free market that leads to unintended consequences or even, you know, in some ways intended consequences. And it's like, if you...
There you go. Good call. There it is.
If you don't run a business thinking about the people it's going to affect, you're going to harm people. You're going to harm society. Even if you didn't come out saying, like, I'm going to do an evil today. Evil be happening so much because money's the root of all of it.
Oh, what's your point? Because I'm going to sum this up real quick.
He wrote an article in response about...
Did he write an article in response?
Totally. He didn't write it for any other reason. No, he had this plan.
He wrote like a sequel to his article.
He had this plan. There's no other. He wrote another article today, which is April 22nd, if you're wondering. Reversing the real estate doom loop is possible. Just look at Detroit. Okay. So we have St. Louis is stuck in a doom loop, and it's stuck. And this article says that Detroit has reversed it, but was stuck in a doom loop and has reversed it. By this logic, that means Detroit, St. Louis, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Baltimore.
You said Pittsburgh twice.
Pittsburgh? Well, Pittsburgh. I like Pittsburgh. I think I think it's a cool city. All are in some forms of like doom loops, right? These Rust Belt cities that fell apart in the 1950s because of the Eisenhower Highway Act of 1956. Screw you, man.
Among many things.
But, Big Machine, this song. But yet he says like the biggest reasons he says that they're no longer stuck in this doom loop. He says one thing people forget is that Detroit has a lot of old and new money.
Which is something that none of these other cities have.
Boy! Outside of New York City, the largest amount of generational wealth is St. Louis.
It's almost like St. Louis is set up totally differently as a result of many, many, many years of lots of stuff that caused the city to be this way. Mm-hmm. And it's like if we came together as a metro area and solved that problem, we'd be able to do something about it, as opposed to, you know, playing culture war and blaming the lowest common denominator and easiest person to blame. Mm-hmm.
He just says ruins waiting for someone with money and local pride to come and convert them. That's what he says about Detroit, and that's why they're doing well. And you're like, bro.
Once again,
look at every single city is doing the same
thing.
What kind of
city of 300,000 has like 70 podcasts about that city? This one,
yeah.
Civic Jeez. Pride, my ass.
Yeah, for real.
Anyway, I think it's safe to say, to sum it all up, we're butthurt about it.
We are, and we're gonna get him more clicks, which is what he wants.
But like,
that's,
you know,
how he thrives. He's like, what's the character from?
But I think there's something to be said about, not to cut you off, David. I'm really sorry.
You're fine.
Happens
all the time in our life.
I don't want us to be naive and delusional and say that there's nothing wrong with our downtown, because there is.
Because there is
plenty of stuff wrong with our downtown. But what that article ignored was the larger context of why it is like that and why it has continued to sort of stay like that. But that there are bright spots and things happening downtown. Really cool things happening downtown.
Lots.
I was just 21C this morning having breakfast. Good press. That's like not, I'm not giving good press. Like the name of the restaurant is good press, but also good press.
21C is awesome.
Yeah. There's a lot of cool stuff happening downtown, but there's also a lot of,
we spent our anniversary there, and we're like, maybe we should make this like an annual thing.
It's great. Like, but are you talking about 21C or downtown?
21C, good press. I forget the restaurant's name.
Idlewolf.
Thank you.
I saw a comment today that kind of summed it up. They're like, there's so much residential downtown, and there's a lot of great hotels downtown, and a lot of cool stuff to do when it's happening downtown, like with sports teams, et cetera, the arch, conventions, but there's not enough retail.
Yeah.
If this was City Skylines,
you're right. There isn't enough retail.
If this was City Skylines and your city consisted of just downtown St. Louis, you'd have no you'd have no green demand and lots of blue demand. we St. Louis need to do better. But also, Mr. What's his name?
Conrad Putzier.
You do better too.
Yeah, maybe I genuinely the olive branch is extended and an invitation is extended.
Love to have you on the show.
For you to come to the show.
Yeah. We'll take you to the research library.
Or just have a call in.
Or we'll just walk you around downtown. Do you think he came here?
He did. He
oh, cool.
Yes.
All right. Well, there's that then. At the time of recording, I really just wanted to talk about one of the craziest things I've ever seen. That's like, it's a little outdated. It's not quite at the time of recording it. It might appeal to a population of St. Louis. Because it's like, it's been part of our skyline forever. And actually all skyline. So at the time of recording, actually in 1610, the year 1610, we discovered Saturn. So when Saturn was discovered, I'm sure people had takes, right? It's pretty.
Sure.
It's the devil. It's got rangs.
I'm pretty sure they didn't have like pictures.
Well, he's a little dot. You can see it. It's pretty dot. Pretty dot. Pretty dot.
Pretty dot.
They had. I mean, they had
draw
telescopy.
What do you think the Catholics thought of it, David?
Mm. They probably hated it because it was it was like people being like, ah.
No, they embraced it.
Did they?
No. So what artifact of the Lord Jesus Christ is unaccounted for that the discovery of Saturn and its rings might have found?
I mean, if Christ ascended into heaven,
what did he need?
But what was he missing when he ascended into heaven?
I'll tell you, David, it's his foreskin. The Catholics thought that Saturn, the rings of Saturn specifically, were Jesus's foreskin. I heard this week, and I can't get it out of my head. And I'm using this platform to say something about it because what the fuck, Catholics? There's so many of you here. Has anybody heard this? Do they teach you that?
Is that something in confirmation class?
Do they teach you that?
Your wife's confirmed. Did you ask her?
I guess I could have. Actually, she showed me this. So, or we both saw it simultaneously standing in our bathroom brushing our teeth, and I was like,
I was telling Colin, it's like, it's great, like, it is such one. And people make jokes too all about the time, like, about how they're like, yeah, like, what's that property that, like, you like the property but you just like can't stand the fandom around it, and everyone's like, well, Jesus. And and it is such a
that up 100%.
It is such, like, the discussion of that is such a, like, fanfic fandom, like, you know, like when, like how, like, Star Wars folks were always like trying to find like the logical solutions to things, like, that aren't there, but they're making the leaps, and it's like, oh, good news, everybody.
It's like R / Jesus. It's like, well, what about his foreskin? What about that?
Yeah,
but I think I'm just having a discovery that do, like, specifically, maybe I know that lots of people still like have circumcisions in general in this society still to this day, and like, do Jewish families in particular like keep the families?
Why,
like,
is that where you're going with this, David?
Because, like, is that what they were like? Oh,
no,
Mary obviously,
actually, no, wait.
Mary obviously kept the foreskin.
No, she flung it into space. Obviously,
that's what I'm saying. Like, what is like?
No, but like, when Jesus ascended into the heavens, his foreskin was somewhere else.
He was flying off to his own Mormon planet, like this. This is what I'm imagining, you know, like going off to his own planet, and then he was like, "Oh no," and left it behind. And that, my friends, was Saturn.
Not a local story.
I mean, Catholics, chime in, baby. There's a lot of you here in St. Louis.
That has nothing to do with St. Louis.
I know.
Did you just want to crap on Catholics?
No, I wanted to talk about this with my friend,
okay,
because
great.
It's been on my mind for 7 straight days, and I can't get it out of my head.
I was trying to make a joke, and all I had was cock rings of Saturn.
Cock rings? Hey, I think it's time for Comment Section Readers Theater. You can cut all that out if you want to. Hey, you can cut all that out if you want to. Here's some Comment Section Readers Theater for you. Comment Section Readers Theater, for the uninitiated. I have a bad habit of doom scrolling. This is my way of therapizing that by taking comments from a particularly egregious comment section on, you know, a local media source and making them into the only thing I know, a short play. Nice. So here.
Yeah, content unedited but reorganized.
Content unedited but reorganized. That is,
I'll start us off.
Everybody
ready?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm really excited for this. Interior. Riverfront Times Facebook comment section.
Headline. One of St. Louis's first Cybertrucks is an attention getter.
Ugly.
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 Stupid ugly.
Attention for ugly.
That's not a truck. Fucking ugly.
I seen that truck few days ago. It looks like shit I would never.
But does it have temp tags?
Has he put a Joy FM sticker on it yet?
If it ain't got temp tags, it don't matter.
They've all been recalled.
Fake news.
Didn't know we regressed to a 16-bit way of life.
Ah, yes, I love being able to get cut by brushing up against the corner of my truck.
Have experienced such cuts to trousers from sharp edges on unframed license plates.
Electric cars equal junk.
So he's fully admitting it's a replacement for his questionable manhood.
Great for St. Louis. They're bulletproof.
Unless it's bulletproof, what's the point?
Good thing it's bulletproof.
Ugly!
Ugly!
That's a Lego.
It looks... It literally looks like a four-wheel drive refrigerator.
These are not attention getters. The only attention they get from me is laughter because they're so freaking ugly.
I think he might have been at Chicken and Pickle about 2 weeks ago.
When you going to mention Tesla recalled all of them for sticky accelerator?
Fake news.
That man stole spare scrap from the arch.
Scarps from the arch.
I seen this car on the highway.
I saw it on Route 3 in Illinois today.
Coming north on Lindbergh between 40 and Ladue.
Saw this last week by Costco on Olive.
Passed it on Olive Street Road last Wednesday.
Every single Cybertruck is recalled for acceleration issues getting stuck at 100% acceleration.
Oh, fake news.
Turn off CNN.
Bet you never stop watching Fox.
Hey, he ain't tell you how that MF wasn't trying to go up the hill. Hashtag bum ass truck.
My husband was interested in getting one because he's in construction, and I was luckily able to talk him out of it.
He owes you a delicious steak dinner for preventing him from driving that monstrosity.
It is damn ugly.
Those things are sinfully ugly.
This is a vehicle of traffic violence.
It's the ugliest thing I've ever seen.
Not really crazy about it, actually.
Didn't they just all get recalled, lol?
Fake news.
Peaked in high school.
Didn't a bunch of those vehicles just get recalled?
Fake news.
Have you seen the meme about the incel Camino?
Too bad there was just a complete recall.
Fake news.
Unintentional acceleration is a hell of a drug.
Colin is just so good at writing these.
He's not writing them, he's compiling them. I am just a vessel.
He's an archivist. my favorite.
It's all Serafinsky, let's be honest. It's all Serafinsky's ability just to, like...
The other guy.
I get what you mean. Oh, yeah. We need to be clear about what we're saying about Serafinsky right now.
Riverfront Times.
Yes, Serafinsky of the Riverfront Times is uniquely good at poking the bear.
Yes.
Yeah.
But she knows she does it.
Was it so Ryan Crawler? Who did the article on the... Anyway, find out who wrote the article and credit, because it was a well... I can't remember. Well, or was that Sarah who wrote that article?
Let's see. Hold on.
I don't think it was Sarah. Sarah doesn't write a ton of articles for like
every time. So she's written I think I could be wrong. A few of these articles that I have used for Facebook for Riverfront Times Facebook comment section. At least for the I don't want to reference the live show because released it. But like I know she wrote that one.
Get them people involved, man.
Ryan Crawl.
Yeah, Ryan Crawl.
Ryan Crawl. Chris LaBarge's new ride was nearly 5 years in the making. It's worth mentioning. That this guy in the article did say that he peaked in high school. Like he was very self-aware that he's a stan for Elon Musk and a stan for this truck. I don't want to say he's a stan for Elon Musk. He didn't say that, but he's just like, I like it. I know I peaked in high school. Deal with it. And I'm like, you know what? That's the kind of self-awareness.
Yeah, you have a sense of humor about it. No, favorite thing about this comment section is like, all the articles I've seen about it, like reference, you know, one of six Cybertrucks in the St. Louis area, but like everyone commenting seems to have it in their mind like, it's the one. Like all the like, I saw it here, I saw it there. Like, it's like, yeah, there's more than one. You didn't see that. You might have seen that one. You probably didn't see that one. Maybe.
But you might have.
You might have.
I mean, more than six people said they saw it somewhere. So someone had to see the same one twice.
Oh, sure.
And they're also, there was a comment on that that I didn't choose to include because it really didn't go anywhere. But it was like, there's more than 12 in Chesterfield, which is indicative of Chesterfield, I guess. Yeah. Isn't there a Tesla dealer out there?
There is a Tesla dealer. Yeah. In Chesterfield? In the valley.
Yeah. In the valley.
Now, it's our valley.
Our Gumbo valley flats. Is an awesome valley.
My dad and I, I don't know if this just indicates where like I grew up and all that, but like...
Lake St. Louis, you've said it before.
We went to the valley every once in a while, and that was, you know, crossing the river to go to Chesterfield was like, oh my God, this is like we're going into the city. Because, you know,
you're in a geographic area called St. Louis.
Yeah.
Although you were coming from a geographical area also
called St. Louis. Yeah. Lake St. Louis.
Sheltered boy here.
No, speaking of comments, but, it's always,
hey, hold on. Sorry. And we would come into like the city, we'd come into the valley, and we had a term for all the gals who wore North Face. Remember there was this massive.
Yeah.
My butthole was clenched for what you're about to say.
North Face was massive when we were in like high school, if you remember.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I wore a North NFBs. Face. I wore a North Face vest, padded insulated vest to middle school, like eighth grade, every day. My eighth grade picture is in it. Yeah. I grew up in South Florida.
Yeah.
I also wore a beanie. I was very hot.
I don't remember the guy's name who started South Butt here locally.
Yeah.
That guy was a legend. Love
so
that guy.
So you had a derogatory name for females.
NFBs.
Yes. What?
Well, I referred to them as North Face babes because in high school, the girls who were like wealthy were usually had a lot like more makeup on.
Did your dad call them North Face broads?
I think maybe no. This is nothing against John Lemon, by the way.
Or is it North Face females?
No, it was North Face
females. Females. Hot take. For all white male podcasters out there.
Hold on, my butt hole is clenching now.
the word females when you say it.
Yeah.
Like oh those females.
Iron male.
Hot bigger red flag.
Oh yeah.
Than using broads.
Oh,
I think.
Yeah. Well.
Really?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
In certain contexts, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The future is broad.
That's not. No. I meant the context of using females. Saying broad is kind of always disrespectful, but saying like, oh, those females.
No, because that usage of the word female is a direct line from a radio edit. So it's like it means. It doesn't mean just women.
So
you know?
Are we? If we say it with like a Brooklyn accent, is it better?
I think it's
broad.
You know what?
I don't think there's anything of value.
We need to talk to girls at all.
Lord knows I don't.
At the time of recording, we just got some cool new. This is gonna be great for audio listeners. But we got some great new renderings.
Audio listeners.
We will describe the renderings.
But
or you can look. You can use the internet and look them up.
Yeah.
Or you can watch. You can watch us on YouTube.com/ YouTube.
Overarching stainless.
Yeah.
Yeah. YouTube.com/watchtheshow.
Yeah, just type it in.
Although, of course,
let's talk about Gateway South.
Talk about Gateway South.
At AOL.com.
At AOL. Gateway South, which was Shodo's Landing, which is now Gateway South.
Well, Shodo.
But good development.
Shodo problematic?
Company.
Yeah, kind of.
Maybe. Who knows?
I don't know.
It's all of it.
People have a hard time saying it, including Siri.
Yeah. Really?
I think so.
I'm sure it's like Chotow.
Chateau.
Oh, they were going to say something else.
No. Gateway South. So Good Development Company is in charge.
Is an oxymoron.
This $1.2 billion development just south of 40.
Wait,
east
what
of
development
55.
Company?
Good Development Company. It's
oh, that's
like
the
Ron
name of it?
Swanson developed. No, it's like Ron Swanson himself just made his.
Is it called
Good Development? Yeah, straight up.
Oh.
Good Development.
Oh,
Good
oh,
Development
Edward,
Group.
Edward L. Good.
Wait, his last name's Good? Is that the reason?
No, I just made that up.
See what happens when you speak with confidence?
Well,
I
typically do. Hey! Yay!
Sorry, I'm so sorry.
So Bradley only
speaks
with confidence to men.
Tell us about this development, David.
So sorry.
Good Developments Group is the master developer of 100 contiguous acres south of... You know, they say the Gateway Arch National Park because, of course, it's good for marketing and all that stuff. But we here in St. Louis say You're south of the Poplar Bridge. That's what you are.
I say south of the Arch.
Yeah, I mean, it is also south of the Arch.
I'm not from here.
Either way. The biggest thing is that it's integrating like multi-use everything, right? So they're actually going to continue using that and upgrade the ports as part of that development, which in my opinion is actually the greatest part about this whole thing, because then you're able to get more grants and able to get like more federal funding and all sorts of stuff.
But David,
just to
expedite
this process, but, right? There's going to be the first few phases will be office spaces, and everybody's like, "Why are you building office spaces?"
Yeah, because everyone
right
works
now?
Remote now.
That's not necessarily true. It's becoming more of
everyone.
Yep, everyone.
Door dashers.
Yes,
pet groomers,
gig working, and like self promotion and.
Everyone works remote.
We do.
We're
except
recording.
My grandpa, am I right?
No, your grandpa's remote doesn't work. That's what it is.
That's different, Bradley.
You can't work the remote.
Different.
My grandpa's dead.
Both of mine are, actually. I was just making a bit.
Oh, so are mine.
My grandpa's still alive.
Both my parents are dead.
He is the only grandparent still alive.
Ever?
Yeah, he's the only grandparent in this world.
Wow.
Jeez, what's happening right now? To the people listening to the audio podcast, are like, please stop. Like, please explain the Gateway South more. Please.
You could say the conversation is in a doom loop.
Oh boy. Anyways, it's underway. The project is underway, and it's being developed in most likely three phases. It will be in operation in 2026, which makes you think, hold on. They can get the first phase of this thing done, and it currently looks like this right now, and get it done in 2026. But you can't build a goddamn bridge across Highway 40 until 2027?
At the time of recording, the Brickline Greenway released a pedestrian bridge. The most exciting thing.
Yeah.
A pedestrian bridge.
But truly, it is exciting.
In the edit, give me like... Like pedestrian bridge,
Colin
pedestrian
over here.
Bridge.
Colin over here blowing the VFX budget.
Yeah. At the time of recording, the Brickline Greenway and state, local, whatever. I don't have the article up, but there's funding has been granted, and like there's a plan to build a pedestrian bridge from the armory into the foundry, which is so obvious that I literally thought of it on my own when getting off the Grand Metrolink and thinking I want to go to the armory. Man, it would be great. To put a pedestrian bridge here, and then it from my mind, they stole it. They stole the thought police.
Colin,
they stole
Colin,
it.
Colin. That's just manifestation working, everybody.
There it is.
Anyway, if you buy my coaching seminar,
Virgo's in rising, baby. Excellent. And you know what else is rising? A pedestrian bridge. But like, like 35 years from now.
Yes, truly, our grandchildren will be able to benefit from it, and that's about it.
If they have legs.
Yeah. Ooh, good point.
If they're not those like Wally
cyborgs.
Cyborgs will be way cooler. I was thinking the guys like in Wall-E that like have the little remote control.
Yeah, probably. You're not too far off. Anyways, so the space will be, it will be all three things. It will be industrial, commercial, and residential, which, you know, the big three.
So even though this isn't like in the downtown neighborhood specifically, it's directly adjacent. So
let's put up a map, shall we?
Yep.
This is where it's going.
No, let's explain it like we really... Like how I have to explain it to everybody I talk
so
to
our,
in St. Louis.
Listeners.
Like, oh, you know, Gateway South. It's gonna be like kind of downtown. It's gonna actually be in this neighborhood called Kosciuszko.
It's just north of Kosciuszko.
And people say, "Where's Kosciuszko?" And I'll be like, "It's south of the Arch." And they're like, "Where all those abandoned buildings are?" And it's like, "Yeah, all those abandoned buildings are just east of Soulard." Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that neighborhood had a name. I just thought it was Soulard. There.
So with all this investment going in, like right by downtown, you're saying that there are. Wealthy people, developers investing in the core of the city?
Yes.
Yeah,
not
Conrad.
Not just wealthy people and developers, but
Conrad.
Also not just old money, but new money, too.
And good Conrad. And good money.
And good new money.
From Edward L. Good.
So here's my favorite thing. It's part of what's known as volumetric modular construction.
Oh, that just took a turn. That makes me not like it anymore.
Yeah.
Wait,
well,
what is
there's
it?
A lot of prefab.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's assembled off-site.
Oh, that's why they can do it quick.
And that's why they can do it quick.
Got it.
So it's got a lot of, you know, just component manufacturing.
First tornado comes through town, going to knock it over. Why even build it in the first place?
Well, it's
next time on Facebook comment section.
It's got, there's a lot of manufacturing that's going to go down there. It's basically a multimodal like heaven,
right? It, like, from the pictures, it looks like it's going to be like bus, friggin'
yes, it's going to be walkable.
Lots of bikes, lots of
foots. It's going to be the whole thing that every new developer tries to create, which is like live, eat, stay, play, work, you know.
Feels like it's like the district of Chesterfield if it was actually downtown and not just walkability cosplay.
Yeah.
And if there was also like residential on site.
So it's like the streets of St. Charles.
The second phase is going to be lots of new residential, which I'm really excited about. Yeah. But lots of residential.
Which once again, we've said very nice things about streets of St. Charles.
Streets of St. Charles, as far as lifestyle centers go, could be worse. It's actually like
It's pretty great. I'm okay with it.
It extends their downtown. The parking isn't atrocious. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you had MetroLink connecting to Ameristar and Streets of St. Charles and a street cargo from Streets of St. Charles through downtown St. Charles, perfect.
I'm telling you, we could have our own St. Charles right now, closer to downtown St. Louis, if there wasn't a Schnucks former Shop and Save on the north side of Manchester in Maplewood. That should just still be what it is on the south side.
Oh,
it
I thought
be the
you were
same
saying,
thing. And
I
you could
you
have
saying,
from Manchester, from Big Bend all the way to McCausland, all of that just could, it would be amazing.
Long time listeners will know about our Manchester streetcar dreams.
Yes. Either way, I'm really excited about the prototyping lab. And there's an outdoor prototyping yard too with lots of like robotics. The 30,000 square foot high bay prototyping lab and an outdoor prototyping yard has innovative materials library. Its tailored programs and services will make the site a vanguard for the building and manufacturing industry.
Is this like a place we can visit?
Yes. You'll be able to walk around it, and like there's an open yard, like an actual manufacturing yard.
Oh, so the rooftop garden of your loft apartment. You can say, ah, look, the river. Ah, look, the arch. Ah, look, the city. Ah, look, giant robots doing battle.
Oh, so it's going to be, that's like part of the, I thought you
that's
were
saying.
That's
part of it. It's part of the industrial.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's part of the industrial side of it.
Oh, so okay. Okay.
It's going to be a cargo port.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Not.
I get it.
It's you not life size Rock'em Sock'em robot.
That sucks.
Although,
I'm.
Unless.
Really good. Life. Hold on. Life size Rock'em Sock'em. Oh, wait. That's just Gundam.
That's just boxing.
Real steel.
It's real steel.
What is real steel?
No, he's right. Look it up.
Oh, the guy's
Gundam,
doing it right now.
Gundam is patently not life-size Rock'em Sock'em robots. It is 900 foot tall Rock'em Sock'em robots.
Good point.
Piloted by one or more people.
Yes.
Love Gundam. Anyway, the big takeaway that I have for this is a person who's like just seen the pretty pictures. The fact that industrial is being considered in a what is essentially a lifestyle center.
Yeah.
Is freaking neat.
Yeah.
That's number two. Number one is a port, like upgrade to the port. That is not a sexy thing, but that is the most important thing.
Right.
That like as a person from the Florida, I'm like, oh, we're so far inland. Like, what does the port have anything? But it's like, we're on the backbone of America, baby.
Yeah. Like, the Mississippi, like the barge is going up and down. And that's the thing too, is like these types of investments, like, the flashy, sexy stuff is great and cool and gets people excited. But if we want economic sustainability of the region, then like logistics, industrial, like making that stuff in a way that's going to be important and last is going to really anchor the value of that neighborhood and that project and add to its longevity.
I mean, yeah, the Mississippi River is the right leg of America, and the Missouri River is the left leg of America. And where they meet, right above it, that's St. Louis, baby.
We're the crotch of America.
And in this metaphor, America is like capitalist, in a perpetual state of a batma.
Yeah, a state of, or a little arabesque, a little.
But one thing
upside down
to end this,
to be north centric.
One thing to end this conversation. So the main image of the main drag of Second Street going north south, the Crunden Martin building has a section crossing on the third and fourth and fifth and sixth floors. intersecting the buildings on either side. So like a walkway, a catwalk, essentially.
And breezeway.
It's breezeway. It's obstructing the view of a perfect view of the arch.
I can see the arch still.
Yes, but
the top half of it.
But you know how like Laclede's Landing has that one alleyway that everybody
Instagram
goes
alley,
in,
baby. Yeah.
Instagram alley. This would be probably the most iconic photo of the arch in St. Louis, besides like Keener Plaza, Running Man, old courthouse picture of the arch. Sure. You know, but this would be because it's that side view, which is like
Instagram alley. Locals know Instagram alley.
It's the other side of Instagram alley.
Right. It's
and there's two there's,
Instagram walkway.
Well, there's arch's good side.
There's Instagram alley there, and like there's two places that are on everyone's Instagram. It's that angle of the arch, and then it's like that little outcropping at Castlewood Park.
Yeah.
Everybody walks down to that rock, that ledge, that cliff, and
yet
takes a picture there.
Yet another reason to take public transit. Honestly, in my opinion, the best picture of the arch, Laclede's Landing Metro stop.
God, I have taken
because you get an arch from an arch
frame.
An arch and an arch. Double arch. Archception.
Let's talk over
arching. And this was Overarching. Overarching is produced at Fly North Theatricals in residence with the Kranzberg Arts Foundation here in sunny Grand Center, St. Loogie Magoogie. You can catch us on social media at Overarching ST Lewis.
And don't forget to catch our next video this Friday on YouTube, where Colin makes Bradley extremely turned on by talking about roller coasters.
Got that Tiz Riz, baby.
Woo! Whoa. I'm erect.
I don't want to ride that again.
Let's talk about ourselves.
Damn, why'd you throw that at a $10,000 camera?
I go into Brandon and like,
I feel like I'm having a heart attack.
Where am I? I'm Colin.
This is Bradley.
This is David.
And this was Overarching.